John Beeson is on the line with us right now. John, good evening.
It should be a good evening, but, you know, unfortunately, Sunday can't come quick enough.
Yeah, I hear you. Let's just jump into this thing real quick and just your initial impressions on what is going wrong with this team, because, you know, I feel like we could replay our postgame show from the Virginia game and nobody would notice the difference at this point, because the same problems have been lingering now with this team for a while here.
You know, it's hard from my perspective, because at the end of the day, we are, as former players, we're not fans. You know, it's not about the tailgate. It's not about, you know, putting on the fitted cap and the orange and green and, you know, having something, you know, trendy to post on social media. It's family. And it hurts. It cuts deeply. You're vested because you want so much for them to have what you had or didn't have. I'm going to use Perry as an example of the same thing that was happening when I was there in, you know, 2005, 2006 season, when guys would go out and get tattoos of the U. When you get a tattoo on your body, quote unquote, it's forever. That's earned. It's not, you know, a fad. It's not something you do because it's cool. It burns me up. You got to go out and earn it, and you have to hurt for it. You have to suffer for it. Great things come with the price. If you wanted to show up and just have success and be the best player on the field and think you're just going to go out there and beat whomever, go to FIU. No disrespect, Butch Davis. Go to FAU. No disrespect, whoever's there, your boy from
Lincoln,
from Bama, the joke, whoever he is. Go there. You came to UM to be great. That's the standard. Period. That's par. Greatness. And it's not so much, you know, a matter of what you see on the field with the players. It's the aftermath. It's how they go about their business afterwards. It's got to matter to you more. There has to be more conviction within how you move and why you do it. It's not just a game. Listen, I've had this conversation with countless players, young players. The game is played by players. Don't let the game play you. Meaning this, when you get hurt, like I have, when you leave University of Miami, like I have, at the end of the day, someone's going to come behind you and play your position, maybe wear your number, maybe do it better than you, maybe win a national champion. Maybe win a national championship. Those things have to be paramount. You know, and listen, I've given a ton of money to University of Miami to ensure that the next guy who comes in, who wants to be great, who wants to go out and live a dream, get that opportunity. That's why I support the program. I believe in the staff. I believe in the direction, but enough's enough. You can't lose the teams you're supposed to beat. And the fact that Virginia, BC, Duke, who we haven't lost to since 1976, feels like they can come into Hard Rock Stadium or the Orange Bowl or whatever, 100 yards of green grass, and feel like they can win. Is the problem. It has to matter to you more. And you don't see that. And I can sit on my couch and save my money, or sit up in the alumni box where, you know, we're guaranteed one ticket for life. But I don't. I pay great money to support the program, because I want these guys to have an opportunity to go out and live a dream that you only get a chance to do it once. It's short-lived, and it's hard to watch, and I don't want to point fingers at you know, play call or whatnot. But I played the game for a long time. I'm very much a student of the game. You know, when I prepare, I don't care about names. I care about numbers in terms of jersey numbers, who's what they do on third down, first and second down, play action pass. I'm in tune to what's going on. You can't run back-to-back draw plays down by eight at your 50-yard line. I don't give a damn. You can't do that. But there has to be more of a sense of urgency based on what the objective is. And the objective is to exist. When we talk about the tattoos, it's about having a seat on the bus. It's about being in the in crowd. Not the guy, but the in crowd. When you show up, it's gotta matter to you more. And this isn't about November. This is about January, February, March, when you're hurting, when you sacrifice more for something, when it's taken away from you, when you feel that hurt, the sting, the disappointment, what happened. You know, I took the whole crew to Charlotte last year for the ACC championship game. That embarrassment should be there, and it's not. It's not. This isn't some cool thing like, oh yeah, man, I went to the U. You know how I feel about my college career, 2003 to 2006, a disappointment. You know why? Because we didn't win a national championship. That's the standard. That's the legacy. That's the greatness. The players in the early 90s, in the 80s, the early 2000s, I want to be mentioned with them guys, but not because I was a good player, but because I wanted to win a championship. If you're not about that, then you're not about anything. And there has to be somebody who can galvanize from the head man down to the special teams player to the guy who's putting the ball 27 yards. Mm-hmm. You got to step up. You live for this moment to be on that stage in front of all these people, national televised game, to make it happen. It doesn't happen. I don't know who the leader is. And I'm taking a shot at the players that I've befriended and who I think are who have the capability to be that, but you don't lead because you're a born leader. That's BS. Anybody tells you that knows nothing about leadership. You lead because it matters to you most. And it's necessary. A great player is not great because he can light up the stat sheet. He's great because he can make the guy next to him better. That's what we're missing. I don't know who it is. I don't know why or whatnot, but when you look at it from the outside in, you got to be objective and say, where is that player? And I'm calling you out because, you know what? It needs to be done.
John Beeson here with us.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, John. If you want to finish, I just want to let everyone know we're talking with John Beeson here. But please continue.
Yeah, like when I came into UM, I was, you know, I came out of private school. At the time, it was not fashionable. You know, if you didn't play 6A ball down here, it was everything. My parents went to Central. My grandparents went to Miami Northwestern. I'm through and through Miami. So you come through a small private school like Chaminade, but listen, we didn't care. Like, we had great coaching and we wanted it. And when I got to Miami, it was more so about that. It was about putting the work in. Every day you earned your respect. And guys followed you because of it. And maybe guys don't like you, but sometimes when you lead, you got to turn your back on the crowd. You know, you're the maestro. You got to turn your back on the orchestra. That's it, on the crowd. That's what it takes. And sometimes you're a play away. We're one play away from scoring a touchdown. A potential two-point conversion opportunity last week, one play away from getting right back into the game, targeting. They don't like us. People don't like us. They don't want to see us do well. If it's 50-50, we're going to lose. We knew that going into the game. We had to beat people. You didn't sign up to go to University of Miami because it's cool to say, yeah, man, 5 national championships, yeah, the U, blah, blah, blah. You know, Ray Lewis, Sean Taylor, all these great. So what? Do they talk about you with them? Are you mentioned with them? Did you go about your business like they did? It's not there.
John, I want to ask you this. I know you're friendly with a lot of the former players, and people are just kind of asking, what are the other former players, what are they saying about this? What are they talking to you about? And, you know, what's the overall opinion on from some of the other former players that you're close with?
Listen, man, I'll be God honest with you. It's painful to tears. Boston College. You know, listen, I respect Doug Flutie. I love Doug Flutie. I do. I played in the league at the same time Doug Flutie. He was still playing. He's an outstanding player. He's a leader. He's gritty. He's overcome all the naysayers to be a player that can play in the NFL. And he's getting, and you know what? He's got his moment. But you know what? When I see Doug Flutie, it epitomizes what BC is to me. It's just, you're holding on to a moment that was, I wasn't even alive when it happened, okay? I'm 33 years old. So what? So what? He's at the game last week. It's like they're doing everything they can to get up for us, and we're not up for them. Go out and handle your business because you can. You're better. Don't give him anything. You've never seen John Beeson raise four fingers in the fourth quarter. You want to know why? It's not about the fourth quarter. The first play is as valuable as the last snap of the game. That's how you play the game. You look back and you say, man, we won by 40. You won by, you saw what Clemson did the other day. I mean, guess what? You execute. That's what happens. You score 70 points on a team that's supposed to be pretty good. That's how you play the game. You don't give them nothing. This isn't participation, like, you know, let me get a trophy. It's that, man. And it's gotta matter more, and it's gotta trickle down from the head man. And I'm not even saying that it's not, but man, like, I just gotta see a little more passion. It bothers me, because at least if you beat me, fine, I'll shake your hand at the end of the game. At the end of the race, at the end of the rep, whatever it is, but you know what? You're gonna earn it. You're gonna respect me because of it. You're gonna have to go through something in order to beat me. And my mentality is gonna be, okay, he won, but I'm gonna win more. I'm gonna win more often. I'll be right back. And it's I don't want a finger point, but I'm just talking about the way you move, your body language. Guys just being completely just blank and absent on the sideline. Like, hey, listen, man, you're down 5 points. The game's in the mix. What's up? It's Duke. And then we get this golden opportunity last night from something we had nothing to do with. We sat back and we watched Virginia lose to the Pitt. Mm-hmm. To get right back in. To me, my mentality is, man, if you're Clemson, you embarrassed me last year. I'm going to win these three games because they did us a favor. Pitt, thank you. Get back into the ACC championship game at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I'm going to beat you and knock you off when you think you're feeling really good about yourself being the number two team in the country. That's my objective.
John Beeson here with us on WQAM here on the Williams and Cadillac post-game show. John, I'll ask you, you know, what would you tell this team right now? Because the reality is, for Miami, they got to play three more games. You have to go at Georgia Tech, at Virginia Tech, and you have to play Pitt. And this game against Duke, I mean, the last three really have been, they've been embarrassing for the Hurricanes. What would you tell this team going into these last three? Because you got to win at least one of them just to get to a bowl game at this point, but you have to try to finish the season strong.
I've had this conversation with players on the team right now. Winning the Coastal, winning the ACC championship, that's a byproduct of the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to win the national championship. You pick that stuff up along the way. The objective is to be the best. Like I said earlier, I took a shot at FIU. I took a shot at FAU. If you want to just show up and play football and have fun, and play for nothing, meaningless moments where you don't leave your legacy etched in stone at the University of Miami, one of the best programs period, that's not that you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. There has to be more, and there can't be this self-serving political or politically correct answers after a game when you lost to Duke. What? This is not basketball. Last I checked, I'm pretty sure this was not an arena. This is football. We're King Kong. You just don't see it, man. And to answer your question, what are you really trying to do? What are you trying to prove? What are you trying to accomplish? Do you want to be the very best that you can be individually based on how you go about your business, how you prepare, how you train, and then ultimately how you show up on Saturdays, rep in, rep out, and then are you making the guy next to you better? Does it matter to you that much? Do you have conviction about how you go about your business? Because at this point, and we're going to see it. They're going to post all week. They'll post tonight. They'll post tomorrow. And they'll be happy. They'll be okay with it. It won't hurt them. But like I said, you asked about current players. I mean, former players, to tears, man, to tears. It's bothersome. It's not what it should be based on the fact that I think we have the right guy at the helm in terms of Mark Richt. And I think we're a very talented football team on paper. Guys who possess, you know, the attributes of you know, running fast, jumping high, being strong. Now what? Why aren't we winning? And I don't mind getting beat by a great foe or somebody who's earned the right to be, you know, elite. But BC, Virginia, Duke. You got to be kidding me, period.
You know, and John, I think the frustration as well is it felt like Miami had kind of gotten over that hump where they weren't going to keep losing to these teams anymore. You know, after last season, they had a successful season, and I think people thought going into this season, maybe the Canes had gotten past that where they were going to, you know, keep laying eggs to these teams that they should just be blowing out. But unfortunately, they've kind of taken that step back into that thing where they're losing to these teams again.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's one thing to have a slip up, even though we shouldn't versus teams like this. But we're streaking three in a row now, you know, and within a bye week too. It's like, you know, I just can't call it. And, you know, sometimes young men, in some cases boys, you know, they got to be pushed. They got to understand the magnitude of the situation. And, you know, coaching is a very tough job. You know, you put in a plan and, you know, once you get to the game day, it's showtime. You're on the outside of the chalk, man. You watch like me. You can't do a damn thing about the 18 to 22, 23-year-olds who are out there who are essentially, you know, keeping your lifeline intact, to keep your job, to support your family, your children. I mean, these coaches, they lay on the line. They have a lot at risk. But at the same time, it's like you got to find somebody. Hopefully, in all three phases, that can lead. That they do it the right way, not just a good player. You know, it's easy to be a good player. Guys show up on game day and do well. I'm talking about rep in, rep out. When you're with Big Dog in the weight room and how you go about preparing in terms of watching film, all that stuff matters, man. Mm-hmm. It all matters, and to be able to hold guys accountable to that, that's the difference, man. Ken Dorsey, I never played with him. Never played with Ken Dorsey, but I respect him based on the stories that I heard, you know, about, you know, kicking guys off the field for being 2-3 minutes late to a player's only 7-on-7. That's the type of leadership you need at the quarterback position. when you do lead, it doesn't matter what position you play. You do it because it's necessary. And it matters to you. And it can't be, if you're not willing to do it all the time, that's why guys don't lead, because it's very hard. Because if you want to say it, stand up and say something, you know, you want to be the vocal guy like, you know, DJ Dallas or, you know, Jaquan, whatnot, what I've heard, you have to do it every single day. Because if you have the chink in your armor, man, then you're full of it. You're a facade, man. And guys will call you out. So it's hard, but does it matter to you that much? If it does, then do it. We don't have that. We don't have that.
John, I got to thank you, man. It was really great stuff from you tonight. I know it's a tough night for all of us here as the Canes, if you're just joining us, fall to Duke 20-12. And John Beeson, thank you, man. We really appreciate you taking the time here.
Danny, Brian, I think you guys do an outstanding job. Thanks for having me. I am a fan of the show. I'm a Cane through and through. And I think the criticism is warranted. Mm-hmm. And it's just unfortunate, man, because we're just way better. We're better than what we've put out there. And I think the coaches know that. The players know that. Why we can't put it together is yet to be determined.
Well, John, hopefully we'll talk to you again later in the season, hopefully under better circumstances, though, certainly.
All right. Appreciate you guys, and go Canes.
Appreciate it, brother.
Very cool. John Beeson, man. He laid it out there. He said about everything that that needed to be said, and sincerely appreciate John taking the time with us here this evening. We have all of our lines full right now, so if you are trying to get through, our caller lines are full, which means we need to start rattling off some phone calls here. And I was just sitting back and just kind of, I didn't even want to ask him any questions. I was sitting back and just listening. And John is obviously a guy that everyone has a tremendous amount of respect for, and you know, a guy that we really love down here, and just very cool to have him call in and lay it out for us like that.